Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing attracting the ideal relationship. Now, one of the most common reasons that people go on a healing journey is because they find themselves in relationship chaos. Perhaps, let's say they're attracting narcissistic partners, struggling with fears of intimacy, struggling with codependency, having relationship breakdowns, breakups, things like that. Now, while there are countless benefits to a healing journey, perhaps the most profound benefit is to our relationships. When we set the intention to go inward, to heal our wounds of childhood, to develop a healthy sense of self, develop independence, build a whole sense of who we are, sense of self, we feel more secure in who we are, we're more at peace with ourselves, and as a result, the relationship with ourselves improves, and as a result of that, the relationships with others is going to naturally improve drastically on all levels. Now, a healthy relationship with others is, like I mentioned, dependent on the relationship we have with ourselves. So in essence, the relationship we have with others, the people we attract into our life, specifically our intimate relationships, is going to be a reflection of the way that we communicate, relate, and treat ourselves. So attracting the ideal relationship is very much about checking in with the way you treat yourself, with the way you relate to yourself, and becoming the type of person that attracts the type of relationship that we want based on becoming our best self and continuously growing towards our full potential, loving ourselves, showing compassion to ourselves, and becoming whole. So as a result of the inner healing and the growth that we do, our relationships with others will improve, most notably our intimate relationships. Now, when it comes to attracting our ideal relationship, the following are some tips on what to look for, what to look out for, in order to create the ideal foundation for sustainable intimacy. So I will say that there is no such thing as ideal relationship. There's no such thing as a perfect ideal that we all need to live up to. Ultimately, each person gets to decide what works for them and what is ideal for them. But that being said, the following are some tips, some rules, some ideas that are important to check in with when it comes to choosing a relationship, choosing a partner, and attracting the relationship that will bring us fulfillment and ultimately will be able to sustain itself. So when looking for a relationship, we want to understand that fundamentally, love and lust are not enough. These things may attract two people together, but because they wax and wane, they are emotional, and ultimately emotions are not something that is sustainable. They come, they go. Therefore, it's not necessarily a sustainable foundation for a relationship. So in general, feelings that stem from lust and love are in essence random, and they are not something that proves our willingness to commit. Now, what is necessary is the commitment to growth, both inwardly and with each other. And with this, we can enjoy the good times, the pleasure, the joy, the happiness that comes with the intimacy, and not be swayed by disappointments and struggles that inevitably exist, in intimate relationships. So when we are not basing our commitment on feelings, then when the feelings come and go, we're not necessarily swayed by them. We can continuously commit to the growth that happens when, let's say there is a struggle. Now, it is so important to look for and find somebody with a similar vision and life purpose, as well as similar values. Obviously, we're never going to find somebody who's fully aligned, who agrees with us on every level, and has an exact similar vision and shared purpose. However, when we have somebody who has a similar direction, when we can agree, for the most part, on fundamental belief systems, it's more possible to create sustainable intimacy over the long run. It's difficult to bridge gaps in relationships where our visions and our values and our purpose is distant, is not necessarily so aligned. The closer we are in this way, the more aligned we are in our vision, our purpose, and our belief systems, the better chance of coming to a compromise that works for both partners. Now, it's so important to be aware of your own as well as your partner's intention for relationships, their consciousness. So our intention and our consciousness is very much the cause of how we live our life and the outcomes we will create. Now, many of these intentions are unconscious. Many of them we're not necessarily aware of. Many of the drives or the motivations behind choosing a partner or entering into a relationship may be outside of our awareness. However, when we have misunderstandings and misalignment when it comes to our intention, when we're not on the same page when it comes to the reason we are intending and investing and committing to a relationship, oftentimes this leads to breakdowns. An example of this is one partner, let's say, wanting lasting commitment with the other, let's just say, aiming to have short-term fun. It's going to lead to a breakdown because obviously there's two different intentions going on. And if those intentions and commitments are not communicated beforehand, ultimately it leads to breakdowns and heartbreaks. Next, another key element is making sure that you or your partner are not looking to make up for unmet childhood needs through the relationship and through each other. So we want someone and we want to look for someone who doesn't need the relationship to make them whole and is not needing the relationship to meet unmet needs of childhood. So another way of saying this is somebody who has an independent whole sense of self and is self-assured, is able to meet their needs by themselves. Now this will assure that the relationship is interdependent as opposed to codependent, and it takes all the added pressure of needing to meet each other's childhood needs, which ultimately isn't appropriate for adult intimacy because you cannot meet your unmet childhood needs through each other. That has to be done independently. So unless we are doing it independently, if we're relying on our partner, we end up manipulating, gaslighting, and trying to control our partner to get something we didn't get in childhood, that ultimately leads in chaos and breakdowns. Furthermore, we want to look for a growth relationship, and this is often something I refer to as a healing relationship. So a healing relationship is where partners use the relationship to assist each other on their healing journey. In essence, the space between each other, the relationship itself, becomes an environment that's safe enough to have deep and difficult, honest conversations about our past, our wounds, our traumas, allowing each other to hold space with compassion, and offering reflections towards each other as to how they show up in the world, allowing for accurate and immediate feedback, which allows each partner to show up fully, wholly, in an environment which allows them to discover themselves, to heal and integrate parts of themselves that maybe they are unaware of that need integration. Now, this type of relationship demands brutal honesty. It takes a tremendous amount of maturity and self-reflection, but when done right, it can be a huge catalyst for each other's healing. Without this level of intimacy, relationships tend to turn against each other, and they don't necessarily grow deeper and closer, but the issues that show up, the childhood traumas, the wounds, the unmet needs, end up becoming a wedge between partners and ultimately break them apart. So in essence, they are much more sustainable when they are growth-minded and with the intention to assist each other in self-actualizing and towards our highest growth. Now, we want to look for someone who complements you and your specific personality, your sense of self, and adds to your happiness and not needing you or you not needing them to make each other happy. So this is similar to having a self and being independent and being able to meet your own needs. In essence, each person has the obligation. Everybody has an obligation and responsibility to become aware of what they need to make themselves happy, and then doing their best to work to be the happiest version of themselves. This is a responsibility for each person, whether it's a relationship or not. So needing a partner to make you happy will essentially put that power and responsibility outside of ourselves, and it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the relationship and each other. So when two people come together to assist each other in growth and share their happiness that they already have within, true bliss is attained and the fulfillment we're searching for is inevitable, because shared happiness creates that bliss and fulfillment. Nobody else can make you happy. You need to be able to learn about what you need and then communicate that to your partner. But at the end of the day, it's your responsibility to identify what it is you need to make you happy and then go ahead and assure that those things are attained. Next, we want to look for someone who helps you love yourself more and helps you and celebrates your growth. So this is such an underrated element of intimate relationships. Self-love is fundamental to life. And I would argue that everything is meant to bring us to deeper levels of self-love. This is not narcissistic love. This is self-love that allows us to appreciate who we are and then ultimately share that love with other people. So intimacy is really no exception, and it's arguably one of the strongest tools to allow you to develop self-love. When we love somebody, when we care for somebody, and they do this for us, we become more and more aware and in love with the person that we are. We, in essence, become closer to ourselves through the other person. So we experience deeper levels of self-love and therefore closeness to others, which essentially brings us closer and closer to ourselves through this relationship and with the help of our partner. So my advice in this instance is to find someone who helps you love yourself more, who celebrates your wins as if it's their own wins, and notices and nurtures the good within. This makes the journey to self-love easier and more fulfilling, and ultimately serves the purpose in which intimate relationships were designed, which were in essence to bring us closer to ourselves, to our higher self, and to loving ourselves more. Now, the next one is probably quite obvious, but we want to look for someone who has a compassionate heart. When we look for a person who has a good heart, who has good intentions, we're assuring that even in rough times, this person will be this way and will most usually not turn on you or blame you or run the other way if there's issues, if there's chaos that arise. So another way of saying this is we want to look deeper than the surface. We want to look at someone's character. Looks obviously change, and money, let's say, comes and goes, but a kind heart will always be there. And with kindness and compassion, as well as respect for each other, a relationship has a infinitely better chance of being sustainable and ultimately bringing more and more happiness and joy. Next, someone who you would want your children to look up to. So this is obviously geared towards a partner that you would plan on raising a child with. When you choose a partner, essentially you're choosing someone who will have the lives of your children entrusted in. So this is obviously not a light matter, and so do what you can to assure that this someone is someone you'd be proud of being a parent to your child. And this is someone who has healthy ideals, healthy habits, healthy attitudes, is mature, is flexible, is able to be selfless and put others first, and ultimately sees the importance of being a parent and the gravity of this role, and continuously striving to become a better person, a better parent, a better partner, knowing that your child is constantly watching you and learning from the person that you are. Next, we want someone who is not willing to compromise on morals and standards on character, but is also flexible on their thinking, having an open mind, flexible on ideas. So open-mindedness to new insights and thinking outside of one's perspective is essential for being a balanced person. So when someone's balanced, they have strong opinions, right? They have strong morals, they feel passionate about their views, but they also have the awareness that other people may not agree with them, and the humility to accept that other people are not bad or good, they just have different perspectives, and the humility to accept that their view isn't the only one. So in essence, someone like this is mature, they're open to new insights and perspectives that can change how they view things, they're not rigid in their viewpoints, and therefore their life is continuously changing, and they're not threatened by other people's opinions because they realize that they might not have information that once they gain, they can ultimately benefit from. So in essence, they're confident in who they are, they don't need to be right at the cost of others' well-being, they stand up for what's right, even if it's not necessarily popular, they don't push and bully their opinions onto other people, nor judge people who see things differently. So a person like this will be much more willing to grow and add in perspective and change their life and grow and allow your opinions to integrate into their perspectives and allow them to grow, to appreciate the differences in other people and yourself as a partner. And therefore, they will live much more gracefully, leading to a much more peaceful and growth-minded relationship. We want to look for someone who goes with the flow, someone who's easygoing and open to life shaking things up. So life rarely turns out how we want it to. Usually there's pitfalls, there's chaos that we cannot predict, and we want someone who's not necessarily so attached to outcomes to be happier, to be okay. Someone who can deal with adversity, you know, conflict and chaos without shutting down or blaming. So along the lines of someone who's at peace with himself, with life, and with their existence. When we are with someone who goes with the flow, it'll be easier to be yourself, and in a sense, it'll give you permission to also go with the flow and be at peace with life. This flow, this going with the flow, allows for optimal peace and happiness as each partner can be fully themselves, fully present, fully vulnerable, fully in the unknown, and trusting this flow, trusting your higher power without the need to, let's say, control life, manipulate, or attach to things in fear, which only causes resistance, and ultimately those become barriers to intimacy. Next, we want to look for someone who is self-aware and someone who will self-reflect on their behaviors, their mistakes, and their shortcomings. So in essence, we want someone who takes ownership of mistakes, has the humility to accept personal flaws without it lowering their self-esteem. So another way of saying this is we want someone who's soul-identified and not ego-identified, meaning they know who they are, and who they are is not the ego, it's their soul. So with soul awareness, we're continuously acting in accordance with our soul, with our authentic self, and this will assure that we act in integrity with our higher self, with our intuition, in dignity, in a godlike fashion, as opposed to primitively, in an egotistical way, in a narcissistic way, in a selfish way, let's say in an immature way. So when we are ego-identified, and we identify with the ego, we act in an egoic way, and that's usually primitive, immature, and selfish and narcissistic. When we act like our higher self, like our authentic self, our soul, we're going to act in ways with integrity and in a way that brings us more health and happiness and growth. Now, perhaps the greatest quality to look for in a partner is someone who is happy with who they are, accepts their limitations, their humanness, their imperfections with grace, and is ultimately grateful for being alive. So when someone is happy, they radiate love, and they are a joy to be around. They elevate all the people that are around them. And the same goes for, unfortunately, the opposite. When someone's angry, resentful, sad, bitter, in their head, all right, they're in essence going to infect all those around them, and they have the ability to really bring down a person's mood, bring down their state of consciousness. So of course, in any relationship, there's going to be days when we aren't our best self. But in general, we're looking for someone and we're looking to become a person who is happy with who we are, content in life in general, at peace with our existence. And when this is the case, we'll be able to elevate the people around us. They will elevate us, and ultimately our life will be elevated as a result. Now, here's the kicker, right? If we want these things in a partner, we want to work on them within, by ourselves. We can't expect our partner to be someone who has all these qualities as we completely ignore those qualities in ourselves. In this way, we get what we are. So in life, we attract the type of person that we are. So if we want to get better out of life, we want better relationships, we need to become better. So if we want healthier, whole, self-loving, compassionate, responsible, and respectful partners, we ultimately need to treat ourselves that way. We need to heal, we need to grow, we need to mature, and ultimately we will get that reflection in the form of an intimate relationship. So I believe strongly that we attract people into our lives based on the state of consciousness that we're at, the energetic frequency that we are holding, and our level of self-awareness or lack thereof, based on our wounds, our unconscious wounds, our belief systems, our programs, and relationship patterns. So if you find yourself continuously attracting similar relationships, different people, but ultimately the same patterns, we may want to ask ourselves, what are these people telling me about myself, right? What about ourself is attracting them? What needs healing, correcting, and aligning inwardly so that I can attract better? Because it does all begin inwardly. And it's so important to heal from past relationships. If we have past breakups, even childhood wounds, childhood breakups, we need to grieve them, we need to grow from them, we need to learn from them, and ultimately we need to let them go and move on. If we don't do this, we will continue to attract essentially the same person with a different face until we get the hint, we see the reflection, and we identify what needs healing inwardly. Because as I mentioned, relationships are in essence a mirror. So we'll continue to get the same mirror if we are continuously showing up with the same state of consciousness. Now, when we're seeking the ideal relationship, it's so important to pay attention to how you feel, how the other person makes you feel. This is why it's so important to check in with your emotions and be emotionally available, emotionally attuned, emotionally intelligent. So if vibes are off, if there are red flags don't just go away because we ignore them, because we wish them away, and because, let's say, we love someone. They only become more pronounced over time. The things we overlook today could very well be the reason we break up tomorrow. The excuses we make today, in essence, could be the things that break us up. So when you're attuned to your intuition, your intuitive guidance, and you're emotionally available to your own feelings and what they're telling you about what's going on around you, giving you feedback, it will give you a heads up if there are issues. And it is up to us to trust ourselves and our intuition to assure that we are investing in a relationship that brings us peace, joy, and growth. So many years of heartache, heartbreak, and potential future generations of trauma could be spared, unhealthy relationships, chaos, and dysfunction, if we do learn to check in with ourselves, pay attention to our higher self, to our intuition, and listen closely to that intuitive guidance. So there is really no such thing as a perfect partner or a perfect relationship. So when I'm talking about, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, about an ideal relationship, this is not about a perfect relationship, because every relationship, no matter how compatible they are, no matter how much care and desire there is to come together and connect and grow, essentially you're blending two totally separate people and two separate energies. And this takes continuous work, communication, compassion, empathy, understanding, sensitivity, and the ability to step out of oneself, out of one's ego, and allow someone to be themselves, to accept them for who they are without condition or the need to control or manipulate or to change them. It's important to understand that even someone who is ideal, there will be rough days, there's going to be disagreements, there's going to be struggles, as well as obviously great times and blissful moments. And the combination of both is what makes life beautiful. It is what life is all about. So when we expect set our expectations of relationships in a healthy way, we don't end up just resenting our partner and relationship for not bringing us the joy and happiness that we were promised. And ultimately, the minute it feels like it's falling apart, we run for the hills. That's, in essence, if it's not what we expect, then we are disappointed. We realize that life is going to have days that bring us joy and happiness. Ultimately, there's days that are a struggle, but those experiences are experiences that are could be grown from and learned from. And when we do, we can enjoy the struggle as much as we enjoy the rough times. Furthermore, it's so important to keep in mind that it's not about one person, not to be so fixated on a certain type of person and idea of who you want to be in a relationship with. So who we could end up with is someone that is a good fit on so many different levels, and this may not necessarily fit with the image we have in mind. So my suggestion is allow yourself to get to know the person and see if things are compatible on deeper and more essential levels. So look past the initial thrills and the initial impression, and in essence, question, is this something that I want to build? Is this a relationship I want to build with? Is this a person who I can build with? And when we are compatible on deeper, more essential levels, we have a better chance of having a relationship that stands the test of time and allows the long-term sustainable and fulfilling intimacy to exist. Now, when we are in a relationship with somebody, there are issues that are going to arise, issues, mistakes, things that hurt each other's feelings, ultimately trigger each other. There's going to be very many different reasons to turn against each other. And it's important to understand that you and your partner are teammates, and when you come together, and it's you two versus the problem, the struggles that arise will allow for growth. So in essence, the goal is to work together against the problem and not versus each other, not to allow the problem to come between two partners. And it's so often that partners allow relationship issues to come in between each other, and this causes partners to make enemies out of each other, retaliate, and it gets ugly, right? So relationship struggles are always an opportunity to come together, to work together to find solutions, and when these solutions are found, they have the potential to create deeper and closer intimacy as well. So these experiences, these struggles, which seem like pitfalls and issues, really are, in essence, opportunities to come together, find solutions, and then bring a deeper level of intimacy. Next, we want to marry a best friend, right? We want to commit to somebody who's a best friend. So it's not just about the commitment, it's also about becoming someone who you're comfortable around. And a friendship is so important because when times are rough, a strong friendship has the ability to carry you through those rough times. Truly loving each other's company, enjoying each other's energy, laughing together, sharing joyous moments, allowing a relationship to not just be a commitment, something you have to do, but a marathon of good times which enliven the small moments of life. Because ultimately, a person who you're committing to, a person committing to you, there's a lot of moments spent together. So if you're friends, if you're friendly, and if you can create a best friend with each other, that really creates so much more happiness and joy. So to conclude, so much of our happiness in life, so much of our health we experience, so much of the joy that the family life will bring us and the health and happiness of our potential children we raise is dependent on the person we choose as a life partner. So when we are seeking this ideal relationship for ourselves, take your time, right? Don't settle on a relationship that's mediocre just because you don't want to feel lonely or because your self-worth is low or because you're trying to avoid, let's say, grieving a past relationship. Put in the work, right? Face your shadows, heal, and become whole. And when you are ready, the moment you are ready, the universe will send you a person that complements your highest growth. This may take time. It may take deep loneliness, but the wait is always worth it. So don't give up on a great relationship, the potential of having that, because they do exist and they are honestly the most fulfilling thing we can experience as humans. And it's essentially what we all want to create in an intimate relationship, but so many of us fall short because of the many different pitfalls that we are unaware of and that get in the way of true intimacy. So to share a personal anecdote, I was in several different relationships that fell apart. And ultimately this podcast resonates with me very much so because of the fact that this is what led me on a healing journey. After several different relationship breakdowns, the inability to face myself and really own the fact that I had these wounds that were in essence just repeating themselves in every relationship I have, I was not able to move on. So it was until I finally took full ownership, healed my wounds of childhood, went into my unconscious and dug up all the stuff from my past relationships, was I able to resolve these conflicts, which then allowed me to meet my life partner, which is Lauren, which is something that is every day another marathon of amazingness and happiness. And I really do wish this for anyone who is looking for that sustainable intimacy. It is something that takes work. It's a struggle. There are days when you know, at times you want to quit, at times you want to fight. But if you can realize that a lot of this has to do with your growth, Relationships are brought into your life to help you grow. If your intention is to grow, then you can allow all experiences to give you feedback about what you need to do to grow. And through that growth with yourself and with your partner and with the people you're around, the fulfillment is unbelievable. And it's something that I believe is essentially the very purpose of life, and specifically the very purpose of our intimate relationships. So thank you all very much for listening to today's podcast episode. Until next time, all the best.